Well, good morning, everybody. You guys can go ahead and take your seats. Morning. And I gotta say, with Pastor Dave in the back here somewhere, this must be—you know—this must be what it feels like to be a school teacher with the principal sitting in your class. We're not gonna be in any particular passage this morning. Rather, we're gonna be looking at a lot of different scriptures. So, to you guys' benefit, for you guys sitting over here, my kids tell me this is like where the blue team sits in Awana. There's an Awana leader over here, so we'll be doing some sword drills, basically, and I'm sure she can pass out some Awana dollars and something. You guys can earn points for your team. Sorry, Eli, you're sitting on the other side. But, yeah, we'll get that worked out. No, in all reality, all these scriptures we're going to be talking about today, they should be up on the screen if you guys can see that. Yes? No? Yes? One person can? Good. Okay, four of us can see it. Good. And yeah. Yeah, this morning we're going to be talking about prayer, and, you know, I got a text this week from a friend that said, hey, man, when are we going to start going back to the gym? You know, it's like, ooh, yeah, I should probably get back into that. I probably should get back into this, this good thing. And when it comes to prayer, it can sometimes be like that. You know, we start out, you know, January, beginning of the year, things are going great, and then we kind of teeter off as time goes by. And when somebody says, hey, how's your prayer life? You think, nah. Not the best as it should be. Not the best it could be. Not what it should be. You know, it's kind of like a diet. We did good on Monday and Tuesday, but it's Sunday now, and, you know, I haven't prayed in a couple days. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about prayer. Pastor Dave started a new sermon series on hard things. This sermon isn't going to be one of his part, but prayer, it can be a hard thing for us to do. It was for me when I first got saved. So, first, we're going to just start with talking about prayer and talking about what it is not. If I can get this one to go here. There we go. Okay, prayer. Prayer is not. It's not bargaining with God. Prayer is not something that we do. We give God a bargain. Hey, God, if you do this for me, I promise. You know, saw this thing in my life, and I promise, God, I'll go and be a missionary. I'll go do whatever, God. Okay, it's not a way that we can bring a bargain to God. That's not how prayer works. Prayer is not listing your demands to God. We don't bring our list here of things to do, things to accomplish, and bring it before God and say, here you go, God, here's my list. Check the boxes, you know, quickly, if you could, please. Okay, prayer is not that. It's not listing demands to God. The next. Prayer is not only asking God for things. When we're talking about prayer is a relational thing. God has made us for relationships, and this is one of those things. If we only go to God asking him for things, that's not very relational. The next. Prayer is not a way to show off one's spirituality to others. And then Luke 18. We're going to talk about Luke 18 in just a little bit. But, yeah, prayer. It's not something that we do in front of other people just that way we can look more spiritual than maybe what we even are. And we're going to learn some things from that passage here in just a little bit. And then, lastly, prayer is not something you have to do. Yes, I just said that. Prayer is not something you have to do. Prayer is something that you get to do. And it's a mindset. I want us to kind of change our mindset from prayer being seen as this religious thing that we have to do. It should be something that we want to do, something that we get to do. If I told that to Gina, like, hey, Gina, I have to celebrate our anniversary coming up. Hey, Gina, I have to celebrate, you know, we have to go on a date. I don't want it to be like that. I want it to be something that we get to do. And the same goes for prayer. The only thing I would put in there that I would tell Gina, I would be like, hey, look, we have to celebrate Valentine's Day. I'm not a huge fan of that. That's something we're going to have to celebrate. Okay, but the rest are things that we get to do. Okay, I get to spend time with Gina. I get to date Gina. I get to celebrate anniversary with her. And I want us to have that same mindset when it comes to prayer. Something that we get to do, not something that we have to do. Prayer, what it is. And it's prayer's most basic form is just talking with God. It's a way that we can communicate. God communicates to us through his word, through creation, through sending Jesus to this earth. God has communicated to us. And prayer is our way to go out in or go back and communicate with God. It can be a hard thing, like I just said earlier. In Steve's Bible study, we talked weeks and weeks, it felt like, on communication, because it's a really important thing that most of us, okay, guys specifically, we're not very good at communication. We're not really good at motions. You know, here we are talking about prayer. Okay? Prayer, what it is. Prayer, it is beneficial for relationships. If you can learn to talk to God in prayer, you can probably learn to talk to other people. You probably learn to talk to your wife. Probably learn to talk to your coworkers. Probably learn to talk to your boss. Learn to talk to your kids. Learn to talk to your parents. Things like this. And I'm not telling you guys anything you guys don't already know when it comes to prayer. These are all just going to be like reminders for us today, okay? Something I thought was important for us as we live our life, you know, we tend to slack off on things. And prayer is being one of them, okay? And prayer, beneficial for relationships. There's a picture up on your guys' screen here. Okay, this is the Obedient Christian in Action. Navigators Ministries were the one to put this together in the early 1900s. 1920s, I think it was. And basically talks about things for relationships here. So you see we have the horizontal spokes, and these are things that we do to strengthen our horizontal relationships, our relationships with other people, with other coworkers, with parents, with family, all these things, okay? And we're not going to talk about those a whole lot. But notice the two vertical spokes there, okay? It's how we build up our relationship with God. And the bottom one is the Word, okay? So the Bible, God's Word. And then the other one is prayer. Prayer, it's essential for a relationship with God. If you're not praying, you're not having a great relationship with God. Just like if I'm not talking to Gina, I'm not having a great relationship with Gina. That's what she tells me. Okay, prayer. The thing is, if we take away one of these spokes, we take away just any one of these spokes, and we're talking specifically about this one with God, a relationship with God, the vertical spokes. Take out that prayer spoke, that wheel's not going to work, okay? I'm not an engineer by any means, but I know if you take away one side like that, that wheel's going to be lopsided. It's not going to work really well. And then you can go around and start looking at all the other things on that wheel, and, you know, we got to see how well that wheel's working. We're trying to make this wheel work for Christ. Notice how Christ is centered in the middle. Okay, yeah, so like I said, prayer, it's talking to God. It can be in your head. It can be out loud because God can hear our words and he knows our thoughts. It can be done anywhere, anytime, any place. Okay, in the car, in the shower, talking to you guys sitting here listening to me, going, God, please help him, all these things. It's a relational thing. It can happen anytime, any place. And that should be something that we should know, that nobody can take that away from us. Like, we can always pray, all these things. Yeah, it's beneficial for relationships, okay? That vertical spoke there, prayer, it's really key essential in that. And, if we can learn to, like I was saying, if we can learn to talk to God about anything, we can probably be better, you know, in our communication with other people, with other relationships. The next one, prayer it's essential for spiritual growth. If you're not praying, you're probably not growing spiritually, or you're growing at a really slow rate. It's all about communication. Here's another thing. Prayer is a way to invite God into your life. By us praying, we're not telling God anything that he already doesn't know. God already knows everything. He's sovereign over everything. He's ruling and reigning over everything. It's not, you know, God's not up in heaven going, oh man, if only Jacob would have prayed last night, then I could have answered this issue, whatever it is. That's not what he's doing. God doesn't need our prayers. Okay, but when we're praying, we're inviting God into our life. It's a way for us to invite God into our life with our struggles, with our ups and downs, with whatever's going on in our life. It's a way to invite God in instead of keeping him shut out, like sometimes we do. Next one. Prayer is a way to be a part of another person's ministry. It's a way to be a part of another person's ministry. And we do this with the missionaries, the Lowens and the Ryans. We pray for them. We supported them financially. And then one of the biggest things that they ask for is support and prayer. That's a way that we can directly be involved in their ministries by praying for them. And Paul talks about this in Colossians. We'll get into it a little bit later. But he talks about how he's asking for prayers for God to open up doors in his ministry. So it's a way for us to get directly involved in someone else's ministry. And the last one on this list is prayer is unburdening. Prayer, it's unburdening. before we go and have to have a hard conversation with our wife, our spouse, our boss, our kids, whatever it is, it's probably a good idea for us to go and have that conversation with God first. So we can actually transfer the burden over to God, because he's the one who can bear it, not us. Sometimes we get so caught up in holding on to our burdens and saying, you know what, this one might be too tough of a situation for God. I'll probably have to handle this one. I don't know if prayer is going to do anything. And that's not what it's there for. God has given us prayer. We should be praying. But it's unburdening. We tend to hold on to a lot of these burdens, whether, you know, someone in the family has cancer, someone's sick, marital problems, whatever, and we hold on to them, and then before you know it, we're just walking around, you know, really enraged, nervous eye twitches, whatever it is, and we're not giving it to God. We're not transferring that over to God. Prayer is a way that we can give God those burdens. Okay, Scripture tells us all over to cast your burdens on him because he cares for you. Couple of reasons why we don't pray. I promise this, we'll get more positive in a little bit. Okay, why we don't pray. And then, yeah, just a side note real quick. Okay? Yeah, this, like I said, this is just reminders for us all. A lot of it's going to be reminders. This isn't a comprehensive study on prayer. One sermon's not going to cover that. This is a really complex topic that sometimes we don't see as it is. There's a lot of information that Scripture teaches us about prayer. Okay. Back to why we don't pray. There's a scripture on the screen in Psalm 10:4. It says, in his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. Yeah, pride typically tends to get in the way. When I was a newer Christian, I struggled with this, with even praying in general. I thought, well, if God knows everything, and my prayers aren't going to change what he already has planned, what's the point? I feel like I'm just wasting my time. But I didn't understand here, because of pride, that it's not about that. It's about relationship. It's about inviting God into your life. Okay? Pride gets in the way. Maybe we think that God's not able to, or maybe he can't answer our prayer. Whatever it is. Then we think, oh, you know what? I'm just going to have to do it on my own. But that's not the case. That's not the case. Prayer is relational. I'm going to keep saying that a lot, because that's what I want us to remember. Prayer is relational. Another reason why we don't pray. James 4:2, 2 and 3 says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. We see right there one of the reasons. You know, sometimes we pray and we go, well, I prayed and it didn't work. God didn't answer my prayer. And the thing is, God answers all of our prayers, except for sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is not yet. Sometimes the answer is do this first. Sometimes the answer is no, I have a different plan. But we'll pray anyway, and we don't get the answer. We don't get an answer to what we're praying. And when we're praying, we're not trying to get God in alignment with our will. We're trying to align ourselves with God's will. Okay, because God speaks to us through his word. We speak to him through prayer. We're supposed to be aligning ourselves with God's will. Okay, yeah, we don't pray because we don't get the answers that we want. And then when we don't get the answers that we want, we don't pray even more. And then it gets to this. You don't have because you don't ask. Okay, that's telling us that unprayed prayers are going to be unanswered prayers. If you never pray, you're never going to get an answer. You'll never get an answer. And then he tells us that you ask with wrong motives. And that should remind us that we should be trying to get our motives in alignment with God. Okay, prayers with wrong motives will not be answered. Turn the corner here. Prayer. Why we should pray. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Okay? If there was one guy who never had to pray, think about it. It's Jesus. Jesus, the preeminent one, the one who's firstborn over all creation, the one who's born of a virgin, the one who turned water into wine, the one who gave legs to the lame, who healed the blind, who healed the sick, who raised people from the dead, who healed leprosy. The one who was arrested and thrown in court, found guilty of a crime that he didn't commit. The one who was beaten, the one who was hung on a cross, the one who died in your place, the one who rose again, the one who returned. 500 people saw him, and then he ascended into heaven. Jesus, okay? Jesus did it. If Jesus did it, who didn't have to do it, we should probably be doing it. We should be probably doing it more. Okay, so we should pray because Jesus prayed. Another reason why we should pray. Acts 2:42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now this is talking about the right after the startup of basically the first church. That's what Acts is. And this is telling us that the early church, when it was just getting started, they devoted themselves to these four things. To teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Prayer is in there. It's essential. It's one of the foundations of it. And it should be foundational in our life, too. And then that's part of the reason, too, why we do corporate prayer time. Praying as a church, it's foundational. Praying together is foundational. That's what we should be doing. That's why when we're in small groups, we're praying together in small groups. When we're in Sunday school, we pray together. When we're in youth group, we pray together. When you're at home with your families, we pray together. All these things, it's foundational. There we go. And then just one last reason for us why we should pray. 2 Kings 19, verse 15 says, and Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned between cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. Okay, this is a prayer of praise from King Hezekiah. He's one of the southern kingdom of Judah, one of their better kings. Okay, he's the one who purified the temple, and here he is, worshiping God through this prayer. He's saying that Jesus is enthroned, that God's enthroned between cherubim, and he's God over all the kingdoms of the earth. God over all the kingdoms of the earth. So when we're praying, it's a way that we worship God. Prayer is a way that we can worship God. And we're doing that while we pray. And then here's where we're going to get into Luke 18. Okay, prayer. Your attitude matters. When it comes to prayer, our attitudes matter. That scripture's up there on the screen. Feel free to turn to it in your Bibles if you want. And I'll just read this for us really quick. It says, to some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and he prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And then Jesus says, verse 24, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. Okay, just a little bit of context for us. Okay? Jesus, he's speaking directly to his disciples, and he's labeling this to also, hey, this is about the people who are confident of their own righteousness, the self-righteous. That's who he's talking to about this. He's talking to people who trust in their own righteousness and who look down on other people. And this is a teaching about prayer. And there's a major contrast between these two characters. Okay, we have a Pharisee who is generally admired by the people at their time. They're well-liked, these spiritual leaders. And then on the contrast, we have a tax collector who's the complete opposite. He's despised by the people. He's seen as he's robbing his own people, all of these things. The Pharisee, we see he's only interested in looking good on the outside. Remember, Jesus calls them whitewashed tombs. His only interest is looking good on the outside. And then Jesus' problem with the Pharisee is the motive behind his prayer here. I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this guy over here, the tax collector. Okay? Jesus is talking about his attitude, and that's the problem he has. And this guy is basically, he's basically praying to himself at this point. He's a spiritual leader. Yes, he went to this temple to pray, but he's not praying to God. He's basically making himself his own God. Saying, man, self, look at you. You're so good. You're not like this guy or this guy or this guy. You are so awesome. Keep it up. Good job. But he's only motivated by the outward appearance. He doesn't obey God. He doesn't talk about God out of love, but rather to prove himself to anyone else that was over there, anyone else that was around. But notice the tax collector's prayer. Wouldn't even look up to heaven, verse 13, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. This tax collector's prayer is more focused on God than focusing on himself. Both these people, the tax collector and then the Pharisee, they leave with ultimately what they want, with what they came there with. Yeah, the Pharisee really only wanted attention for his spirituality, and the tax collector wanted mercy for his sin. Tax collector wanted mercy for his sin. Jesus said that he went away justified. Okay, so what we learn from that short parable is that God is more concerned with the motive of the heart than the action. God doesn't want us just praying just to check the box. Like, oh, hey, I woke up, it's time to pray. Hey, we're going to eat lunch now, it's time to pray real quick. He doesn't want us just doing it just to check the boxes. He doesn't want us just going through the motions, but he wants an honest heart and a humble heart. Okay? When we pray to God, it's an act of humility on our part. We're saying, God, you're bigger than I am. You handle this, please. And then Jesus gives us an example of how we should pray. We're not going to get into this entire text here. This is the Lord's Prayer, super well known. But Jesus gives an example here. In Luke 11, verses 1 and 2, it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. And then Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Father. Other translations will say, Our Father. Okay, these are the disciples. They're coming to Jesus to ask him how to pray. And the thing is, you know, that's normal. Because we don't naturally know how to pray. You know, think of little kids that we hear, you know, in church kind of making baby noises. Ooh, ah, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's what it's going to be like. If you aren't praying and you just start praying, it might be awkward. It might be a little bit weird. But guess what? As the kids get older and they're taught more, they're discipled more, they learn to talk. And they can talk. They can have that relationship. My kids can come up to me all the time with whatever they need and say, hey, Dad, can I fill in the blank, whatever it is. Yeah, we don't naturally know how to pray. Okay, and these guys here, the disciples, okay, these are Jewish people. They memorize scripture. Maybe they went to Torah school, whatever. And then they're asking Jesus, hey, how do we pray? I don't know how to do it. And that's an okay thing. And notice, Jesus doesn't just go, oh, you don't know how to pray. Come on. You guys are Jews. You don't know how to pray? He doesn't criticize them. He says, okay, hey, when you pray, say this. Say, Father. And when we're praying, we need to focus on that, okay? He starts off with saying, Our Father, Father. We need to focus on getting to know God as Father when we're praying. That might open the relationship. Sometimes we have maybe some baggage from, you know, being raised a certain way with our dad, and we try to project that on God the Father, and that's not right. Jesus is saying that we can come to him as Father. He says, when you pray to God as Father, you know, our Father. And what that does is he's there too, like solidifying our identity, okay? We're a part of God's household. We're sons and daughters of God. This changes everything for us. It's part of our identity. Our identity is not found anywhere else. It's not found in our job, how much money we have, what car we drive, what political side we vote for. It's not found in any of those things. It's found in God. Okay, we're adopted into his family. We're part of his household. You guys remember that wheel, the relationship wheel, vertical spoke wheel, okay? Prayer is our way to keep that relationship. And then also, I just want to remember, when we're praying, we just need to remember God, try to pray to God as Father, not as, you know, most of the time we think of God as like a judge or a master, which is part of his nature, but also he's Father. All right, we have some facts about prayer that should cause me to pray more. I don't have any slides for these scripture references, but I do have them on my paper, so I'll read them to you guys. And for those of you who are wondering how many points are going to be on here, I'll give you a hint. There's going to be 10. There'll be 10. We're going to talk about them briefly. Feel free to write these scriptures down and go and look at them later. Take a picture when all 10 are up on the screen, whatever you'd like to do. Okay? Facts about prayer that should cause me to pray more. Mark 1:35. We already read this one. Very early in the morning while it was still dark. Man, that's early. Jesus got up. He left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Okay, we've already talked about it. If Jesus did it, we should be doing it. The one guy who never had to pray, the one guy to get a pass, Jesus, he still did it. We should still be doing it. And notice, Jesus did it early and often. It was one of the first things that he did. Sometimes we'll wake up and we'll go, oh, okay, I'll get to prayer a little bit later. I got a lot on my plate this morning, and then I'll get to prayer time. I'll get to solitary prayer time, quiet one-on-one time with God. And then what happens? Then lunch comes. And then you got more work. And then dinner comes. And then you got to put the kids to bed. And then you got to do whatever. Then you want to relax. And it keeps getting pushed off and pushed off and pushed off. Okay, Jesus led by example. He prays early and he prayed often. Number two, God's answer to anxiety is prayer. Philippians 4:6, super well known. I'm going to read it for you. Verses 6 and 7, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Hey, believers, this is telling us that we can humbly and gratefully approach God with anything, with whatever is on your mind, with whatever burden you have, with whatever anxiety, with whatever you're anxious over, which we count that as burdens. Okay, prayer is, it's unburdening. It's a way that we can transfer the burden to God because he can bear it. He's the God who can bear it. And we're not. We can't bear it. That's why we're told, we're commanded, don't be anxious, bring your anxieties to me. That's what God says. God will help you through whatever you're anxious about. Third, prayer was foundational to the early church. Okay, Acts 2:42, we already read that one. I'm going to read Acts 1:14. It says, "They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." This was a foundational principle for them, and this continued on. These guys, they set the example as the church is getting started as well. That's why we put a lot of emphasis on prayer. Pastor Dave opens with prayer. Pastor Dave does congregational praying together. We close with prayer, all these things. It's important. There's a couple other references to that as well. Number four, faith and prayer are tied together. Faith and prayer are tied together. A couple of references there. Mark 9:28-29 is when the disciples were asking Jesus how come they couldn't drive out that demon and that demon-possessed guy. I don't have that one written down here, but you guys can look that one up on your own. Matthew 17:20, I have that one here. It says, "Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, 'Why couldn't we drive it out?'" Talking about this demon. He replied, "Because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Another scripture is Matthew 21:21-22. That says, "Jesus replied, 'Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but you can also say to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. If you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask in prayer.'" Whatever you ask in prayer. Okay? Now, faith and prayer, they're tied together. These two things were tied together. If we're praying, we think, God, he probably can't do this, but I'm going to do this anyway because we're told to. God's not going to answer that prayer. And now faith, it's not a tool to obtain things that you want. Like, God, I have faith that you can do this, so you're going to do this. But it's more of like a mindset. Faith is a mindset that enables us to pray what we should pray. It enables us to pray what we ought to pray. And then these two things, they're tied together. This is found throughout Scripture. Number five, prayer helps us overcome temptation. Prayer helps us overcome temptation. Matthew 26:41 says, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Okay? Jesus is instructing his disciples here just after Jesus asked God, the Father, if it were possible to pass the cup of judgment that was coming to him. But Jesus obviously made it clear that he would do the Father's will, and then now he instructs his disciples here. He acknowledges that their spirit is willing to do the right thing, but their flesh is weak. Their flesh is the thing that's the problem. And Jesus gives clear instructions here that prayer is one way to battle temptations, the temptation to do wrong. Prayer is one of the ways to battle that, to combat that. Prayer helps us overcome temptation. Number six, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we don't know what to pray or how to pray. Romans 8:26. "In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans." Okay, remember the baby trying to talk? Maybe you're trying to have a better prayer life, talking to God. This is an awesome thing. This should be really comforting for us to know that if you don't know what to pray, sometimes these things happen. Sometimes a coworker, a friend, a family member will come to you and they'll just drop a bomb on you. And they're like, hey, pray for me now, like right now, please. And you just don't know what to say. That happens. Okay? And this should reassure us that when we pray, we don't know what to say or how to pray, that the Holy Spirit's interceding for us with that. Number seven. Okay, we talked about this a little bit. Prayer is how we include ourselves in another's ministry. Colossians 4:2-3, it says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains." Yeah, being watchful and thankful. Being watchful and thankful, devoting. Okay, that's like giving time. Giving time, giving energy, being watchful over it. It demands ongoing attention. And that's not like, okay, I have to close my eyes, bow my head, fold my hands, and pray all day long. That's not what he's talking about here. But it demands ongoing attention. Okay, Jason Willoughby at the 412 conference, he had a workshop on this. And it could be, you know, just guiding our thoughts in a prayerful way to God. Like for you guys, it'd be like, God, instead of saying, hey, why is this guy still up here talking? I'm trying to catch up. It could be like, God, why is this guy still up here talking? God, I'm trying to catch up on all these scriptures. I'm trying to write them all down. It's trying to change the mindset, trying to change the attitude behind it. It's being watchful, being thankful. It's giving time to it, not just checking boxes. And then we talked about how it's a way for us to get involved in another ministry. Paul here is asking this church in Colossae to pray for them too, so that God may open a door for our message. These people are getting directly involved in Paul's ministry. Directly involved in the ministry. We're almost done. Point eight. Prayer is how we can give God our burdens. That's a big one. It's another point I want us to remember. Okay, it's relational. It's a way we can give God our burdens. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." The biggest burden we can carry around is the burden of our sin. That is the biggest burden we can carry. And when we give it to God, it says that he is faithful, he is just, and he will forgive. It's a promise. That is a promise. Another scripture that's not up there is 1 Peter 5:7. "Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." Cast all your anxieties, all of your burdens, all of your doubt on God because he cares for you. Number nine, everything is prayer worthy. Everything is prayer worthy. Ephesians 6:18 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." For those guys familiar with the armor of God, this is the him summing it up. This is Paul summing up the armor of God. He's saying, hey, don't forget and pray. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer requests. This is telling us that we can pray to God about anything. Anything and everything is prayer worthy. Anything and everything. It could be something that some people see as a small thing, like, oh, I had a pet die and that really bothers me. Okay, bring that to God. Everything is prayer worthy. And then the last one, we made it. Last one here. A prayer of repentance is guaranteed to be answered. Okay, 1 John 1:9 again. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Okay, God will remove sin's impact on the relationship between you and him. That's what this promise is. The answer to this prayer is always yes. Every single time. It's a guarantee. It's a promise. Prayer. Some things I want you just to remember after today. Prayer is simply having a conversation with God. It can be done out loud. It can be done in your head. It can be done with your eyes open, eyes closed, hat on, hat off, hands folded, hands not folded. It can be done anytime, any place. Okay? Second being, prayer doesn't change God. It changes you. Okay? We're not telling God anything he already doesn't know. We're inviting him into our life. We are getting our will aligned with God's will. And we do that through reading his word when he speaks to us and then talking to God when we speak to him. Third being, prayer is key to relationship with God and ultimately others. We can learn, if we can learn to have this relationship with God, listening to him, talking to him, we can probably start to do that with other people. Instead of just going off in rage on somebody because you're carrying around all your burdens, not letting them go to God, not giving them to God. This is going to be beneficial for our relationship with God first and then with others. Yeah, last one. Prayer, it's unburdening. If there's anything I want you guys to get it from today, is that prayer is unburdening. If the burden's not transferred, you're not really giving God your burden. You're complaining to God with your burden. Okay, prayer, it's supposed to be unburdening. We're supposed to cast our anxieties. That's strong language. We're supposed to throw it at God because he can bear it. We cannot. And then our application for today made it really easy. Okay, pray. Pray. Pray at all times, on all occasions. If you guys aren't praying on a regular basis, start. If you're not seeking solitary time where you can just go and talk to God, maybe start that. Maybe you are praying, pray more. You can always pray more. There's no excuse. We can always pray more. And with that, I'm just going to close this in prayer. Father God, I just thank you for today, Lord. We just thank you for just getting everybody here, God, with the weather, all these things. God, we just thank you that you communicate to us through your creation, through your son Jesus, through your word, God. And we just thank you that you've given us a way to communicate with you through prayer. I just pray, God, that you just bless our time and just bless these relationships that we have in this room. And then also, God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit can just illuminate areas in our life where we need to fix or to tweak or to change, and so we can ultimately be living and striving for you, God. Watch over us this week, and we just thank you for today. In your name, amen.